Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with the help of Hims. They provide access to personalized treatments so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Yeah, 3 to 6 months. That's it, kids. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays, doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop hair loss and regrow your hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of your own home. Fill out an intake form, and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. The process is 100% online, which means getting started has never been more convenient. No insurance is needed, and one low price covers everything from treatments to ongoing care. Plus, treatment options start at $35 per month. Hims has helped hundreds of thousands of men get their confidence back with visibly thicker and fuller hair. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/drinking bros. That is Hims.com/drinking bros for personalized hair loss treatment options. Hims.com/drinking bros. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts NatureScapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Yes, welcome to Drinking Bros Podcast. It's a fun little Wednesday afternoon, D'Anthony. We got a huge guest on the show today.
You mean like in stature? I've never met him in person. How large is he?
I don't know, but he looks huge on this camera. Yeah. Therefore, I said he's a huge man.
And when you say huge, do you mean like the mountain, or he's just like a ripped dude, or what?
I can't tell. Dave, I'm looking at you right now on camera. I'm going to say 6'2".
I appreciate that, and I feel that I am sitting up straight with good posture and everything. The truth be told, though, probably 5'11 and a half, about 175.
Why don't you kick that up to 6?
Yeah. Like, I'd like to, but then I play a lot of basketball, and people know 6 is right at that thing where they know whether you're lying or not. And I'm right under, you know? Probably if I did enough stretching, I'd probably get to the 6.
You have to elongate.
Yep. Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's very important to elongate. Nobody tells
it's
you
very
that.
Very important to elongate.
Yeah, we used to use a lot of torture devices back in the day that would elongate your body. I mean, they used them for torture back in the day. We use them just to elongate.
Sure, obviously. Sure.
Repurposing. I think they call it, what do they call it? Upgrading?
Yeah, just upgrading. Yeah. Upgrading your torture equipment. Dan was in the military. He's killed hundreds of people. So he could sit there and talk to you all day about torture devices and everything else. I only have one that I can think of, and that would be listening to AOC speak for maybe 6 to 8 hours a day. If they use that as some form of torture device, like, that would be it for me. I would confess to all of
them. I want to do a staring contest between her and Gary Busey for charity.
I'll tell you this. I would much rather listen to Gary Busey for 8 hours than AOC. I mean, Gary Busey, it's going to be entertaining. I mean, that guy, he's bananas, but it's real and it's raw. I don't know where he's been for the last 2 years, but the only reality show that I ever watched, no joke, was Celebrity Apprentice.
Oh, God.
And Busey was on there, and I was like, that guy is something. I don't know what he's smoking, what happened to him, but he is doing something. And AOC for 8 hours, I'd kill myself. They'd know all the secrets. I'd be dead in a half hour.
Yeah, Busey, I can tell you what happened. He got in a motorcycle accident and lost like a third of his brain, and that's a true story. So imagine coming out of that with a third of your brain missing. I think that left eye is a glass eye, which obviously I'm a huge fan. We're huge fans of Dan Crenshaw. And we love a glass eye on people, but Busey, it was the brain that got him, not the eye.
You got to have a glass eye.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like he's going to be one of the first in line for that Elon Musk brain implant, probably, right?
Yeah.
He's already got hardware on anyway. It's
yeah.
Like, yeah, right?
I grew up across the street from a kid who was a year or two older than me, and he was he had a birth defect, a great kid named Aaron, but he had a glass eye, and he used to take it out and, you know, one hand juggle the eye.
Well,
so I'm huge cool fan with that of that. Sort of
thing. That's a good flex. If you could get an eyeball where it had a hinge on it and you could hide your drugs inside,
yeah,
that would be the key right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a criminal, Dave. Everything I do revolves around my criminality.
Yes. Drugs, guns, you name it. Dan has them on his person at all times.
That is true. Yeah.
California, though, you can only do one of those things, and that's where you are right now. You can have drugs, but you can't have guns there, essentially. Why are you still in Los Angeles? You host one of the hugest podcasts on the Blaze Network. Most of those guys are out of Dallas. Dan and I have been down there numerous times. Why are you still in Los Angeles and not in Dallas?
Well, to be very crystal clear, I do have both drugs and guns in my house right now. I want to be very clear about that just so we're on the level.
Yes.
What am I doing here? I mean, what am I doing here? I'm here. It's SoCal. I'm here because of the weather. You know, I moved out here in 2013. So I've been here about 7 years, rolling into eight now. And, you know, I moved here originally. It was partly for business and professional reasons and doing a show like I'm doing now. And then once you get out here, I mean, if you can put aside the tax situation, and now the homelessness obviously has gotten worse, and the drug use on the streets and all that stuff. We're not in LA. We're not quite as bad as San Francisco yet. But if you can put aside some of that stuff, I mean, SoCal is gorgeous. It's 75 and sunny every day right now, and we're in the winter. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're paying for. You're paying for here in LA. You're paying for 20 minutes to the beach. And in the old days, you were paying for actually a cool nightlife if you like going out to restaurants and bars. Now that doesn't exist anymore. But yeah, the rubber's kind of meeting the road for me. I mean, I've got a great situation out here and a great house and staff that works on my show and all that stuff. But yeah, the taxes and just the general lunacy. And then this god-awful governor we have, Gavin Newsom, who was the mayor of San Francisco, ruined that city. And then what happens in progressive politics? You fail up. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, I don't know how long I'll be here. I do like Florida. And yeah, the Blaze is in Dallas, and I love those guys, and they've offered to build me a studio. So anything's possible.
Austin's better than Dallas.
Yeah. City
probably a little too liberal for me at this point.
Yeah, well, but that's, so is Dallas, by the way. Holy shit.
It is, actually. They're having a lot of problems with violent crime up there because of the defund the police nonsense. But I like living in liberal areas, provided their politics don't impact me personally too much. And the reason is, usually they fall in, well, first of all, hipsters, right?
Yeah.
And there's good restaurants when hipsters are around.
Great coffee, too. Right?
Yeah, great coffee, things like that. more importantly, anytime I'm around, and I'm not conservative, but anytime I'm around liberals, I just fucking dominate all these people. They're the most weak, ineffectual, useless human beings I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
It's all the soy. They're consuming it's gotta a tremendous be, right? amount of soy. Yeah, it's
but
a lot of soy.
There's some kind of intellectual defect in anybody that would surrender their rights to someone else because they're either too afraid or lazy to take care of themselves. I don't respect that kind of behavior, to be honest.
Yeah, me neither.
And I hear you.
It's one of those things where, unfortunately, when a city becomes cool, it usually becomes liberal afterwards, and I don't know what you can do to stop that. Everybody's moving either to Texas or, I feel like, Austin or Nashville. Dan and I had lunch with Ben Shapiro, a year ago?
Something like that.
Yeah, and I know they were down to those decisions as well, and then he ended up moving his whole company out to Nashville. I think you're the last one left. Tommy Lahren was there. She was down in Manhattan Beach down there.
Yeah, Lahren's gone.
It's just you, I think, that's in town there, right?
Well, we got the PragerU people are still here, and Adam Carolla is still here, and Larry Elder and Rick Grinnell is here. I mean, there are a couple of people, but, you know, I always say this on my show. It's like, if we've really gotten to the point in America where you have to live in certain states because of your politics, and you can't live in certain states because of your politics, well, then we're all really admitting that the experiment is over. And I'm not quite there yet. But to get to your previous question, that yes, the liberals, the lefties in essence, they come to these cities, they destroy these cities, but for a little while they do something good. You get craft beers, you get better coffee, some interesting restaurants, but then the excesses of leftism basically destroy everything. But then what happens after that? Well, it's exactly what happened in New York City, where I lived for most of my life. I mean, we had moderate Democrat mayors in the 80s. Ed Koch is the most prominent example. Then we went crazy lefty with David Dinkins, and he wrecked the entire city. That's when everyone can picture New York City, Times Square, you know, drug addicts everywhere, homeless people everywhere, crime everywhere. And then what happened? 4 years of that, Rudy Giuliani. And what did he do? He cleans up the freaking place. Times Square looks like Disneyland, whether you like it or not, but business explodes. It's safer, more buildings, more capitalism and all that stuff. So yeah, liberals ultimately, lefties in essence, wreck all of these things. And then conservatives come in and clean them up. That's just the endless cycle that we've got going.
Yeah, I think conservatism is at least politically, classical liberalism / conservatism, modern conservatism is kind of, it's kind of like, you know, parents cleaning up a house, buying nice things and putting it all in there. And then liberalism, modern liberalism, is kind of like a bunch of drunk teenagers.
Right.
Just wrecking the whole goddamn thing with impunity.
Yeah.
Like they've somehow managed to cyclically fuck our economy up, four times over the last 40 years or so, give or take.
Yeah.
And have managed to blame it on Republicans.
Yeah.
Which, look, I'm not a fan of Republicans, especially these days, but
Dan's right down the middle, by the way.
I'm not right down the middle. I think both of these positions are stupid, right? I think
being Democrat or Republican, you know, that's just an association with a party, right?
Right, yeah.
But being basically conservative, meaning that you believe in individual rights and you believe in the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence and our founding documents, that's a pretty cohesive set of ideas. Republicans rarely hold those ideas properly, at least in terms of politicians. But that's very different from the ideas of the left, which it's unclear what that is anymore. Like, what is a liberal anymore? Like, I get it. You get what a classical liberal is, which in essence, I'm a conservative at this point. I don't mind saying that. That's fine. I would say I'm kind of like a new school conservative, something like that. But what are the ideas of the left anymore, other than collectivism, other than identity politics, other than the government can do everything? So the choice is pretty clear. It doesn't mean that the Republicans are any better than the Democrats. They usually aren't. But the ideas of the right, from an American perspective of rugged individualism and it's on you to fix your life and don't wait for the government to do everything, like that stuff that sits on the right, that is way better than the stuff
sure,
that sits
yeah.
on the left.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like we keep falling, as a country, we keep falling into this trap where we're choosing things. And when we decided to pick sides, we clearly forgot that truth and liberty were the only real option, right? It's not right or left. Those things are imaginary. We just made all that shit up. But the idea of individual liberty, being able to do what I want, provided I don't hurt anybody else and I'm contributing society, is the absolute most important thing in all of life. It's why America is it's why America is the best country. It has nothing to do with how much money we make or how good we are at war or any of that shit. It's because in our fucking founding document, it says, hey, you know what? Do what you want. Like, honestly, that's it. It's really fucking simple.
It says you have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Right.
Think what a crazy line that is. The pursuit. We're going to tell you that we're going to make sure no one kills you. In essence, life, liberty. So we're going to protect your life. We're going to make sure you can live it freely, not as we wish, but you're going to have your individual liberty. And then you can pursue your happiness. Now, most people don't do that. And most people, you know, rely on the government for everything or just want to complain or burn everything down. But that's why, you know, as I've kind of moved from lefty to where I'm at now, it's also why I'm happier. I mean, genuinely happier and feel better about the world, even as crazy as the world is, because I know it's on me to figure it out. And in doing that, I started a couple businesses and I've got great people that work for me and we're all working on something. I wake up every freaking morning and I have purpose, man, which, as you guys know, I was on tour with Jordan Peterson for a year and a half. And purpose is way more important than happiness. Meaning that if you can find something that gives you purpose. So I wake up every freaking morning. I have stuff to do every second of the day. usually too much stuff, but I love doing it. I don't feel like I'm at work right now. I did my show an hour ago. That's not work to me. I love doing it every second. And then thus the secondary thing is the happiness. So the happiness comes along with it. But if you outsource your purpose, meaning, oh, the government should just take care of me. It should give me money. It should give me this free blah, blah, blah. Where's your happiness? Because you won't find happiness because you'll just be kind of a slave to your own crap.
Right. Essence. Yeah. There's no agency there. Right. What's the point of even being a human being at that point? And I think since you brought up Jordan, one of the things you've been talking about relatively recently is the what you're calling the war on reality, I guess.
Yeah.
We talk about that a lot. Myself and Dakota Meyer on our other show, American Party, talk about that a lot too. What there's no standard to appeal to anymore. There's no in math. Obviously, it's numbers. Something is either one or a zero, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, life in general and politics are a lot grayer than that. But there seems to be no authority to appeal to. What's right or wrong is obviously an ongoing debate. Ethics is an ongoing debate, right? But we have a set of standards here in this country. Meaning, we have the amount of people we have the conditions we have, and there is a solution to that. In every possible circumstance, whether it's healthcare or the economy at large or criminal justice or any of that shit, but there's not, right? Because there's no basis for reality. We can't agree on what the fuck's happening in life.
No, we're in the midst of destroying every norm. And when you destroy every norm, when you destroy every institution, when you say that men are women are men, when you say that violence is not violence and nonviolence is violence, I mean, the series of crazy things that now the mainstream is kind of pushing down our throats, people don't know what reality is. So when I talk about the reality war, I always say it's like, yeah, we got a political battle is being fought, right? Democrats versus Republicans. And we got a cultural battle being fought, right? Everyone understands that. But those battles are just part of the larger war. And the war is the reality war, meaning that depending on what news you watch, what podcasts you listen to, what cable station you watch, your reality could be completely 180 different. What you believe to be true could be 180 different from your next door neighbor. And that is going to become a bigger and bigger problem. And also it's bigger and bigger because of COVID. You know, in the old days, remember when you used to walk outside your house and say hi to your neighbor and chat with people and all that stuff? And you might talk to somebody at the store. Well, we don't do any of that anymore. I really try here in LA, where it's not the friendliest place in the world. But when I'm walking my dog, I say hi to every freaking neighbor. And people barely respond now because you got a mask on, and if you got sunglasses and you got a hat, it's like, are you on your way to burn down the bank, or are you going to, you know, are you going to pick up milk?
Yeah.
So the reality war to me is a way bigger problem. And if you think about it this way, it looks like we're all roughly the same age. So it's like, if you think about our grandparents, you know, they had radio, right? Mm. And you had a couple radio stations and you could get information from the radio. And if you go back generations before that, maybe, you know, you had a newspaper or some kind of leaflet that was passed around town, or you'd have to go to a meeting to get information from your mayor, whoever was in charge of the town. Well, we went from radio, then we had network news, and at 6:30 p.m. ABC, NBC, CBS, whether you like Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw or Peter Jennings, you just picked which one you were going to watch. But basically, we all watched the same stuff. Then about 25 years ago, CNN blows up. Then we get Fox News, we get MSNBC. Now you can start catering to your own political views. Then the internet comes, and it's freaking a beautiful thing, right? Look what we're doing right now. This is pretty awesome. But at the same time, it's allowed us to all just go into these places where if you so choose to only hear the views you want to hear, man, that's your reality. And then what's left at a national level? I don't know. What brings us together right now? Other than some people love Trump and some people hate Trump. I don't know what the unifier is anymore.
Yeah,
that's a big problem.
And who do you trust out of that? Because we used to have media that we trusted, right?
Yeah.
To me, because I lived a couple times in New York myself, right? The New York Times was a trustworthy newspaper back in the day. The Washington Post was a trustworthy newspaper back in the day. I watch ABC News because, you know, it's on with David Muir. He's America's most trusted anchor. The way that they're writing the dialogue to go on these teleprompters is now slanted. So when you watch it, they're saying, oh, well, you know, President-elect Biden is doing this. And that's something that Trump never did. It was a lie. Like it's these little tiny lies, but they're very fast the way they're read. So these lines are just kind of tossed in there and you're like, hey man, I know what you're doing to me throughout a half hour segment here on the news because I'm smart enough to see through it. I don't know if a lot of people are, but little by little, all of our trusted news sources, print and television, have gone that way. And I'm not to say that the Fox News isn't any better, right? Because clearly everybody's taken a side for ratings and everything else. But who do we trust anymore? Because we're not getting it from social media. Everything is fact-checked to someone else's facts. With the AP calling the AP is called the election for Joe Biden. Every single post you put up on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter these days has a fact-checking thing on there that's from a source that isn't allowed to verify an election. And it's like, where do we go as a nation or as a people, other than podcasts, for a trusted news source where it's just like, hey, how many people died in that earthquake? Can you just tell me that today?
It's almost impossible. I mean, this is the topic that fascinates me more than anything else. And it's what I spend a lot of my days talking about on my show at this point. You know, real quick on the Fox part of that, Fox is telling, no one in their right mind thinks that Fox is not right-leaning, right? Like, everyone knows right. It. If you ask Tucker Carlson, I mean, I've asked him this on my show, I've asked Greg Gutfeld this. If you ask these guys, are you guys right-leaning? Is the network right-leaning? Of course they're going to say yes. It's very obvious. It's interesting, though, that everyone always focuses on Fox because they're the only mainstream right-leaning.
Right, yeah.
Everything else that you just mentioned there, CBS, The New York Times, NBC, The Washington Post, they're all left-leaning, but they're not telling you that they're left-leaning. The New York Times ran a freaking Sunday cover piece about how YouTubers were leading people to the alt-right, and my freaking face was on the cover.
you're the face of the alt-right, huh?
You're the face of the alt-right,
fucking
brother.
Gay dude from California that used to work for the Young Turks is the face of the alt-right in America. Are you fucking kidding me? That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard in my life.
As I always say, it's like, man, the Nazis ain't what they used to be.
Yeah, no kidding.
They're calling us all Nazis.
Jesus like, Christ, man.
If they brought Hitler back, he'd be like, oh, these are the worst Nazis ever.
That's a real problem with the way that the media is using language these days and the hyperbole. I mean, things like racist and Hitler or Nazi, rather. Those words, they have to mean something because of the consequences when we let those people slip through the cracks. We absolutely cannot allow any of that shit, ever. There can't be a trace of it. And that when you weaponize something like that, It's basically like that Russian law where everything is illegal and then we selectively apply the law to whomever we choose, right? It's the most disingenuous thing, and it's not even unethical. It's to me it's evil because you're doing it on purpose to affect a result, and you know for a fact, you have to, if you're a conscious, intelligent human being, you have to know for a fact that it only ends one way, with a complete disillusion of any kind of reality in this country and everybody fighting each other because, like you said, there's no rallying point anymore. Let's say if aliens invaded today, honestly, I know this is a crazy example, but if aliens invaded today, people would wait to see how others reacted. And if Trump said something on Twitter about it, like, oh, cool, aliens, let's check them out. It'd be like, oh, Trump's in the pocket of big aliens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and then the left would be anti-alien and the right would have to be pro-alien. It's fucking stupid. God damn it.
The idea of Trump as sort of the bellwether for everyone's reality is kind of interesting to me because you're totally right that if Trump was to take any position, half of the country automatically takes the other position. So, for example, in the last 4 years, Trump, in terms of foreign policy, I don't know that anyone could have done any better. This guy did not launch wars. We did a couple targeted assassinations. We got out of bad agreements. Other countries started paying more. We had a couple peace deals in the Middle East. He's trying to get us out of Afghanistan, even now, the longest war in American history that no one even knows why we're in anymore. We're not nation building anywhere. I thought all of these peace things and not invading countries and not nation building, I thought all of that was lefty stuff. But you can feel it right now. The Biden administration incoming, we're going to start reversing everything he did with Iran. We're going to start changing. I guarantee you, if Biden becomes president, I don't think he'll be running the show, but that administration will be bringing us back to war. So in a weird way, one of Trump's flaws is that by becoming so polarizing, which is exactly what he had to do to become president, a lot of the good stuff, because these guys will only view the world as against Trump, they're going to do things that will be crazy to prove that they're not Trump. So if Trump did good by not going to war, we got to go to war. And if that sounds crazy to you, you're just not paying attention.
Right. I mean, that's the dumbest shit of all time, right?
Yes.
But it's a huge weapon, and I don't know if... honestly, working in intelligence back in the day, I would have used that if I was a Republican operative. I would have had Trump going hard pro-left positions all the time. Just to fucking... It's called fruit of the poison tree, right? Once mm-hmm. something that you can't report on or something that makes the optics look bad enters the fray, you have to leave that thing aside. So Trump should have said, you know what? We should look at defunding the police.
Let's do it.
And to see what happens. And then 2 weeks later, after he has 2 weeks of media of lefties calling him crazy, be like, hey, I made that up. I just wanted to show how full of shit you guys are. I honestly expected something like that out of Trump because he's the biggest troll in American history.
Yeah.
At least the most prolific troll.
I will say this, though. Obama yesterday came out and said, hey, man, I think we should stop using rhetoric like defund the police.
Well, he didn't say we should stop trying to defund the police. He said we should stop using the rhetoric. By the way, right. I know that seems like a subtle distinction, but that's exactly what happened in that press conference.
Obama's playing both sides of this thing in a really dangerous way, right? Because Obama plays with identity politics all the time, and then we'll also tell you that identity politics are bad. And the reason that he's doing that is that Obama rightfully cares about his legacy. Mm. And let's not forget Barack Obama, Mr. Hope and Change, progressive hero Barack Obama, who apparently never accomplished anything in 8 years, otherwise Joe Biden wouldn't be president, you know, president-elect, right? Because if they had done any of the stuff, you know, disassembling systemic racism, getting rid of the gender pay gap, any of the important things that they're planning on doing, well, there would be no reason for Biden, right? It just wouldn't make any sense. But Obama is protecting his own legacy here. Let's not forget, when Obama ran for president the first time, he was against gay marriage. Uh-huh. Well, if we are to believe that that is of the same social justice worth as that's like being for slavery, in essence, well, then congratulations. The progressives of 2040, let's say, are going to burn down the Obama Library in Chicago.
Right.
And congratulations, Obama. You're going to have to cheer them on as they're doing it because you're going to have to pay penance too. So
right.
He's protecting his own ass by playing both sides here.
Yeah, but at some point, there's got to be, and we've seen this historically. I don't know what it looks like moving forward, but you know, in the middle second millennia, the Great Awakening, whatever you want to call it, people at some point started to learn how to read, right? Farmers knew how to read all of a sudden. They're like, wait, what you're saying is not true. I can read it, right? You're lying to me. You've been lying to me for years. You lied to my fucking grandfather. What the fuck is going on? I don't know where that comes from today. I mean,
it's happening.
It's happening in some ways. I thought new media would have some effect. And I guess it probably has had a lot of effect, but the government has the capability to reach into private industry, particularly social media and internet service providers, and fucking clamp that shit down however they want with impunity. There's nothing you or I could do about it, frankly.
Well, for sure, yes, on that. And the big tech thing is a massive problem. But I would say that the thing that you want to happen, farmers learning how to read,
right,
the wake up has already happened. You know, I don't know if you saw this story just in the last day or two. This guy, I think it's called Max Restaurant or something in Staten Island.
Yeah, the autonomous zone thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
So the police literally came there in plain clothes because he opened up and he wasn't even going to charge people money. He was asking for donations
right.
So that then you could come and eat. The guy, this is his livelihood, his life, his ability to put food on the table for his family, right? He opens up, the police come. Well, now there's people protesting outside. I just tweeted out a video. It's a perfect video of this guy from Staten Island. And he just sounds like a Staten Island.
It's Scott Lobato. His name, by the way, it's Scott Lobato, who's an artist in New York. I know that guy. He's very funny.
He's awesome.
Yeah,
the guy's awesome. Like, he's right out of The Sopranos, basically.
Yes,
like,
yes,
just
he is.
The way,
he definitely
the way
grew up
he's
there,
talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, these motherfuckers, you got to defend your fucking freedom. Fuck. But it's like, that's the silver lining. The average person has learned how to read. Mainstream
right.
media won't tell you that the average person has woken up and,
right.
and knows that CNN is nonsense. But look, I've only been to an airport once since this stupid lockdown happened, and I was at the Dallas airport, and they're showing CNN, and they're blasting it, you know, audio blasting it.
Yeah.
Literally nobody was watching. Trust me, I was looking around. I even took a video. Nobody's watching. When I do stand-up or when I go to college gigs and I say CNN, that's the punchline. People already start laughing. So the the farmers starting to read, they're reading right now. But I think really what you're asking is, how do we quantify it? How do we, how do we go, well, how many people have woken up? How little influence does mainstream have at this point? And that's the hard thing. That's the hard thing to figure out, because we always feel like we have to react every time the Washington Post or the New York Times puts out some stupid bullshit. But maybe if we just let the bullshit lie and just kept going about our lives, maybe everything would be okay. I'm not totally sure where I feel, what I feel about that.
Maybe. I mean, there's still indicators that we're not, that that message isn't pervasive, though. I mean, police officers, who by and large, I would say somewhere between 70 and 75% are conservative nationwide, they're still enforcing these laws. And I've got a special message for you coming up here, police officers. But
on fake news tomorrow.
I'm all done with that bullshit. But the other one is that despite all reason, and again, I'm not, I wouldn't even call myself conservative. Maybe, I guess in today's world I am, but how Biden got elected is beyond me. I understand that Trump's kind of an asshole. Not kind, he's an abject asshole, actually. He's a fucking 74.
He is what he is.
He's a 74-year-old billionaire from New York.
Yeah.
He's exactly what you would expect him to be, frankly. But the Middle East peace deals on their own should be enough to get him reelected, and I don't know why people aren't paying more attention to that. As a matter of fact, it leaked this past week that Netanyahu has been meeting privately with the government of Saudi Arabia. I don't know if you understand how big a deal that is.
Yep.
I mean, it is the most powerful country, the two of the most powerful countries in the entire Middle East, certainly two of the most rich, or two of the richest, rather, are now talking to each other and trying to establish a peace deal. That's insane.
Yeah, well, I hate to tell you, if Biden does come in, that relationship gets way more strained, right? Because it's what I said before. They're going to have to run against the things that Trump accomplished.
Right.
But, you know, in the two debates, you know, we were supposed to have three presidential debates. Then Trump, they ended up backing out of that one because right after COVID or whatever. Do you know that there were zero, literally zero questions about foreign policy?
Yeah.
Zero.
None. Yeah. Yeah.
Trump tried to get him in that last debate, but nothing. So at no point during the debates was anything said about Middle East peace. They're talking about Hunter Biden's laptop. They're talking about COVID, everything else, but nothing was said about foreign policy. I actually think that was one of Trump's few big mistakes throughout this entire thing. He needed to have them ask any question and just pivot and be like, you know what? I don't even want to talk about that. How about Middle East peace? You think that's good? How about the fact we're not going to wars? You think that's good? So I think he did kind of mess up that. But that just also shows you how corrupt the whole
For sure, yeah. I mean, they definitely had a script that they wanted to follow. And in addition to the foreign policy stuff, pre-COVID, the economy was great. As good as it's been in recent memory.
Yeah.
Unemployment
record levels,
unemployment record
historically.
Levels. Historically. Entrepreneurship was on the rise. Unemployment for minorities was at its lowest point in our history as well. And, you know, there are things you could point to, language he's used, that might seem problematic over the years. But again, he's 74 and white billionaire from New York. I don't really take that shit seriously. But anyways, I'm not a minority, so what do I know? But the practical effect that he had on these people's lives was clearly positive.
Right.
And
look, it was 11 months ago at the State of the Union where he talked about all-time low Black and Hispanic unemployment, and the Congressional Black Caucus sat there like this.
Right, yeah.
Yep.
They sat there like this, and all the progressives sat there like this, and it's like, wait a minute, I thought we should be for low Black unemployment. But by the way, it goes to what you're talking about earlier, which is that there is a specific reason why they could never give him any credit, and they needed to create this boogeyman. Once you do that move, once you say that guy's Hitler, right?
Yeah.
Put aside all the historical, like, insane reasons that's just completely insane and all his supporters are Nazis. Once you do that, once you say, hey, this guy is the worst thing that exists, it's not what you're doing to him, it's what you're doing to yourself, because you've painted yourself into a corner. And then what happens is, all right, 3 years go by, we look at low unemployment,
right.
We look at no wars in the Middle East, we look at regulation that's been lessened up, we look at foreign policy that, you know, people are paying their fair share, all that stuff. And you go, oh, you know, the world's kind of good, but you can't turn around and be like, ah, you know, Hitler ain't that bad. So what you have to do is double down and make it worse and worse every time. And that's exactly what these guys have done. And that was the fundamental flaw. You can't call somebody Hitler because you give yourself no room, no wiggle room when it turns out you're not going to believe this. But that that orange New York City businessman, yeah. Ian Hitler.
Well, I mean, look, only the Sith deal in absolutes. We all know that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And I would say to those people, stop defending your party and yourself, and start defending our fucking country for once in your life. Lift a finger in defense of your goddamn country, and then I will pay attention to what you're saying. But again, back to the point. It is that Biden won despite all the evidence. I mean, it's...
Dave, you get a show like this. This is the point in the show. We got some sponsors that we got to shout out that put this whole shit wagon on the air before we get back to our nonsense. First and foremost, ghostbed.com/drinking bros. Black Friday sale has been extended. Everything in the store is 30% off. If you're getting a mattress, you get 2 free pillows with that as well. And the beauty of it is with that 30% off, you can get whatever you want. Sheets, pillows, adjustable bases, you name it. They got it at ghostbed.com at 30% off. And then you get the mattress with 2 free pillows. If you're getting a mattress and 2 free pillows, all of that is applicable with the 36-month pay-as-you-go program. No interest at ghostbed.com/drinking bros, which is amazing. If you're going to be stuck inside for a while, which we may or may not be here, yeah, want to sleep in comfort, go to ghostbed.com/drinking bros today. Next up, this one's the one that's, well, it gets Dan out of bed.
Well, nothing gets me out of bed, really, except for, well, we can't discuss that during an ad read. although, when I read Manscaped's ad copy, because I don't, those of you that have never done stuff like this, they send us over talking points and things like that, but they always say, any good company will always say, you know, but make it your own, because obviously you know how to talk to your audience, but it's hard to improve on some of this stuff. Nose pube.
Yeah.
That phrase, like, how do I make that sound better? Nose pube?
Can't.
That's perfect.
You can't.
They did it perfectly. Look, I don't know if you've ever walked out of your house and forgot to shave, or you missed a spot shaving.
Mm-hmm.
That's embarrassing and stupid.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as having hairy ass ears, nose, and a bush on your fucking dick and balls.
Yeah.
You don't want to fucking pull your underoos down. Now, I wear Batman ones right now, mm-hmm. because I'm excited about the new Robert Pattinson Batman movie.
Obviously.
And I'm trying to psych myself up, but... you know, when I pull those things down and look, they're the old school Batman.
Yeah.
Blue and yellow. Yep. None of this all blacked out stuff.
No.
Blue and yellow briefs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're a European cut brief, right?
Yeah.
So you could see my pubes outside of them anyways.
Yeah.
But definitely when I pull it down, I don't want my dick and balls to flop out and then you just see woof.
Yeah.
You know, like that, it makes that sound. You got to trim up, man.
You don't want to see a palm tree.
It is not 1970.
Flying out of that pool, you know? No. It's not 1970s, and the ladies don't like it. Plus, let's be honest, it'll add an extra inch and a half to your dick. Go to manscaped.com, where they got a holiday special going on there.
Yeah.
Where you can get the weed whacker, which is for your nose and your ears, and then you get the lawnmower 3.0, which is for your pubis region.
Your dick and your balls.
Yeah, or as I like to call it, my brethren. And you get 20% off with the code DB Sports.
Yeah.
DB Sports. You get 20% off and free shipping. And the bags they have are phenomenal, the dop kits and all that other stuff.
Yeah, right,
but
there.
We thought we would shout them out on our DB Sports code today, because if you didn't know, we got a new sports show that is now live on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you can find podcasts. Subscribe to that. We're going 4 days a week there on Drinking Bros Sports. Mm-hmm. We'll be working with companies like Manscaped and all these guys. So use the promo code DBSports at manscaped.com for that 20% off. It is a perfect stocking stuffer, man.
Wow.
Or if you're just by yourself on Christmas, I can promise you it's a great gift, yeah. Man. Across the board.
We've also got Roman today.
Yeah, we do.
Man, I like when Manscaped and Roman fall on the same day.
So do I.
Because all I can think about for the rest of the day is my own hard dick.
Yeah, perfect segue.
It's weird to think about your own hard dick all day, but when some days it just looks nice. You look down and you're like, fuck, man. It's like having a good hair day. You just put stuff in your hair and you flip it twice and you're like, oh, damn, it looks pretty good.
It's great.
I'm all set today.
Yeah.
That's what I feel like when I have what I call a top 1% erection.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one of the best that I've had. It's hard, but not too hard, right? Mm-hmm. It's not like injured. My skin's not going to rip through.
Right.
But I know that I could do some real damage with this thing.
Real fucking damage.
That's what you get with Roman.
And here's the thing. If even if you don't have erectile dysfunction and you just want to use this recreationally.
Yeah, if you're Martin Luther King Jr., for example, and you gotta go dump loads.
You want a party boner. You know, you just want a fucking party boner. Go to GetRoman.com/drinkingbros today and complete an online visit. The doctor's there, man. You don't have to go in and see your lady doctor and have her make fun of you and all that other bullshit. You can just go to GetRoman.com/drinkingbros, do the little online visits, and then you get $15 off your first order of boner pills, aka the ED treatments, and you get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/drinkingbros for $15 off your first order, and then at GetRoman.com/drinkingbros, you get that free doctor visit as well. There is no need to go into a fucking doctor anymore. There is a reason why nobody is taking Viagra. Nobody wants to go to a doctor for this shit. They ship it to your house now. So go to GetRoman.com/drinkingbros today and get your boner on.
Yeah, you don't want to walk in somewhere and say, oh, my wiener doesn't work, man. What do I do?
Yeah.
No, you just buy it on the internet.
Sorry, Dave. We know you don't have sponsors like this, so we'll get back into the more up and up stuff here. Well, clearly, here's the thing. Clearly, what you were saying earlier about people's trust in mainstream media and are people going to alternative media for their beliefs or new friendship or whatever you want to call it, right? The entire media was against Trump. Print, obviously, the big four, CBS, NBC, Fox, and all those guys were against him. Every social media app was against Trump. Yet still, he got the most votes for an incumbent president in close to 150 years in this country. And if it stands, because there's still a couple states that haven't been called to my knowledge right now, it looks like he would be close to around 80 million votes for president of the United States. And he was still able to overcome all of that to get 80 million votes in this country and be the highest of all time for a sitting president. How did a guy win who didn't campaign, never left the basement, got 15 million more votes than Obama did, who was the left hero, in 2012. How did he do it is what I cannot figure out for the life of me, and no one seems to have an explanation. Now, on our show, Dan and I refuse to buy into the voter fraud thing. We all think it's weird. I know you mentioned this on your show a couple days ago, that all of these things seem like odd coincidences, right? But we still don't have hard enough proof for me to say, no, this it's over and we got to check the machines and everything else, because I don't think we'll ever have access to any of that stuff. What is your true belief of what really happened with this election?
Yeah, well, I think you laid it out really nicely, Larry. Like, just on the surface part of this, it makes no sense. Like, the entire machine was trying to destroy Trump, and yet he got way more votes. Now, assuming this is all legit, he got the second most votes ever in presidential history, right? Right. Mm-hmm. Biden would be number one. Trump got number two in that essence. We saw black women double their support for a Republican, black men more than double,
right?
Gay community more than double.
All the bellwethers.
Hispanic. All of the minority stuff all went that way. So we're supposed to believe that somehow Biden got these 12 million more votes than Obama, who was the hero of heroes, even though Biden didn't campaign. He has dementia. No one's excited about him.
And his VP was the first person booted out of the entire process, by the way. Right. She's the most unlikable human being on earth.
She
right
pulled
now.
It zero during the Democratic primaries. I mean, it was like 0.2%.
Yeah.
Right. So without going down the conspiracy thing, although I'm totally down to discuss that and some of the stuff with the machines and all that, but just like at surface value, how does this make sense? Like, where did those 12 or 15 million votes come from? Did they all came from white men, the very same, straight white men, in essence, the very same thing that the left rails against every day? Like, that feels like it doesn't really make sense. And by the way, the other thing that I find very hard to deal with, in essence, is that I can give you a zillion examples, and by the way, I'm one of them, of public people who have big followings who either voted for Hillary or voted third party, I voted for Gary Johnson, who then voted for Trump. There's almost no examples of people who voted for Trump last time that then voted for Biden this time. That seems very odd to me. Glenn Beck did not vote for Trump last time. He voted for Trump this time. Right. Ben Shapiro did not. I did not. There are many, many other people. There's this entire walkaway movement. Show me anyone. I mean, maybe a couple Lincoln Project people, but they didn't vote for Trump in the first place.
Right.
So where is the movement
of
people?
What am I
favorite? That's the thing. They're asking us to see something we can't see.
Yeah, what did Arthur C. Clarke say back in the day? Any scientific breakthrough advanced enough will seem like magic to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there's something we don't understand. I always try to allow room for that as somebody that cares about science. But Jesus Christ, man, the guy that wrote the crime bill, the woman that enforced it in the largest state, who has been shown to, I mean, what are we talking about right now? This is the same thing I said in 2016 with Hillary. We were talking about marriage equality. We were talking about the Iraq war again. We were talking about all this stuff. And we were talking about women's rights after the Lilly Ledbetter Act and all that stuff. So Hillary's got a history of attacking women who her husband sexually assaulted.
Mm-hmm.
She was against marriage equality until it became politically expedient to be for it. And she was for the Iraq war, for the expansion of the federal government, all this other stuff. Spying. She was the one that was in charge of building those cages that they're so infamous now for all these Guatemalan refugees. I mean, what the fuck? How could she possibly get support? But she did. And now with Biden, he wrote the crime bill. Kamala Harris is the one that enforced it in the largest state. And I'm sitting here scratching my head trying to figure it out. But I think maybe people are just fucking stupid. I mean, that's got to be a possibility. That people are just really stupid.
Because if you look at it, the way that the campaign went and everything that I'd spoke about earlier, right? It comes down to me, to one thing. Because I don't have one Democratic friend who said, man, I love Joe Biden and what he stands for and the policies. I don't have one single friend who has just said, man, that's why I'm voting for Biden, is because I love his policies and he's amazing.
Joe
and I
Biden
think he's
will
gonna
lead us into the future.
Yes, yeah, he's right. He's had 47 years to lead us into the future. Like, I don't understand why now.
One of my favorite things to do during during this campaign was to ask people, tell me why you're voting for Joe Biden in a sentence that doesn't use the words Donald or Trump.
Yes.
And I would love to hear it. Honestly, I want to hear it. I want to hear it right now, please.
But I would almost be fine with the answer of, hey, there's this record amount of votes for Biden of all time. He got the highest of any president of all time because there was so much hatred for Trump. I don't believe that people would take the time. Those mail-in ballots are kind of fucking hard, man. Like, I don't know if you did mail-in or what, but when you go through them. I did in person as well. My neighbors had the mail-in ballots, and I was like, what do you have to go through for this? And you're going through the thing, and you got to stick it back in the mailbox and prove who you are and all that other stuff. And I was like, if you hated somebody that much, it's kind of like going to the YouTube comment section and saying, fuck you, and just hoping that person reads it, right?
Yeah.
I have a hard time believing that all these, you know, millions of Americans just voted out of hatred through the mail and went out of their way to do it
If they did, we've got a real problem.
Yes.
Because people have completely suspended. They've decided to fight against something instead of fighting for something. And I don't know if you've seen someone trying to fight. I mean, it's like this is a good analogy, sports analogy. People playing not to lose versus people playing to win. One of those sides wins every single time.
Right.
People that are aggressive, violence of action, they're playing to win, they're taking risk, and that's what entrepreneurship and capitalism are all about. Those people win always. Mm-hmm. It's not like 99% of the time, they win every single time. So we're now, and we're in a situation now where one of our buddies, Evan, he owns Black Rifle Coffee, one of the owners. I'm sure you're familiar with them.
Yep.
He and our other co-host, Jared, who's also one of the owners of Black Rifle, have this theory that Russia has been running this information operation against America to emasculate the American male. And not just that, but to attack all, like you were talking about at the opening, attack all of the institutions that protect our country and our ideas, right? So political correctness is a direct attack on freedom of speech. It is, and freedom of speech and individual liberty, the most important things that exist. Gun rights, the things that we use to prevent people encroaching on those things,
mm-hmm.
also being attacked. The military being attacked, police being attacked. All these institutions that are there, both idealistically and in practice, are being attacked by the left constantly. Why? Why are you attacking? If you're attacking things that keep... If I'm sitting at a table and you're swinging a baseball bat at one of the legs of the table, it is natural to assume that you're trying to knock this fucking table down, right? Am I crazy?
Yeah.
So what the fuck exactly are you trying to? You're trying to make the country better by weakening the institutions that keep it strong. That's what you're doing, right?
just so we're all on the same fucking page here.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, to be clear, whether that's Russian disinformation that gets into our system to weaken the system, or whether that's just the shit that the left is doing. I think it could be some combination thereof. They're telling you 1619 Project and all the rest of it. They're telling you that America, the foundation of America was bad, based on slavery, was based on racism and white supremacy. These are all absolute lies. And within 100 years of our founding, in essence, we fought a war to end slavery.
Right.
We've expanded freedoms for more people from every walk of life. I mean,
how many founding fathers are on record saying that? I mean, Thomas Jefferson straight up said he was one of the largest slave owners, most in debt also, but largest slave owners in the country at the time. And he straight up said during a Constitutional Congress meeting, you can read the minutes, slavery is an abomination. He said it over and over again.
Now, right. what they'll say though to that is, well, he didn't free his slaves. Now, Thomas Jefferson, I've been to Monticello.
Well, that's not true though.
In Virginia, no. But they'll say, well, he didn't. Why didn't he free him that day? Now, the guy was writing the laws that were going to free the slaves ultimately,
right.
And wrote documents that freed us, literally freed us, because it freed our ancestors. The documents that were the founding documents of America. But he also had relations with at least one slave, which in a modern sense they would say is rape and everything else. They want to destroy everything that was the past of America. That's why they want to tear monuments down.
Right, but Martin Luther King Jr. fucked every woman except for his wife for his entire adult life.
By the way, they're coming for him.
Yeah. Well, now they are too, which is fucking crazy. I mean, at some point, that scale's got to tip. I feel like we're on a boat. We're all in the middle of a cruise ship. Right. And people are like, oh, I don't like this. I don't like this. And they start getting farther apart. And then all of a sudden, these people go way the fuck over there. And people are like, no, I'm not going over there. There's got to be some disbelief at some point. Right. Some precipice where people on the left are like, you know what? That one's a little too far. I feel like going after Martin Luther King, who is an imperfect man, just like all men. Right. I'm not trying to excuse the behavior, but this thing doesn't have anything to do with this thing. The fact that he was, you know, dropping loads and checks all over the place. I'm sure he wasn't pulling out. It was the fucking 60s. Come on.
Yeah, 60s, you know?
The fact that he is this...
Dave's regretting life decision coming on this show today.
What is the show again?
it doesn't weaken what he did. Like, his impact is still the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. What does one thing have to do with the other?
Can you separate the art and the artist debate, right? Can you separate flawed people? Because we're all flawed, right? Every single one of us. I'm not sitting here telling you I'm the perfect person. We all sometimes act in ways that maybe is not totally congruent the way our public persona is or the way we want to live, right? All of us never every second of the day live up to the best version of ourselves. But I really do sense these people want to destroy the system. And I think the problem is, I think what you're saying there in essence is, at some point they're going to go so crazy. It will be so obvious when they're tearing down Martin Luther King Jr. statues. It'll be so obvious to the average decent lefty that they're going to, you know, somehow break towards us. I think there is such a pervasive, nefarious and really insidious way that this mind virus works. Mm. That there is almost nothing that will stop these people at this point. The further bananas they go, they feel like they can grab more people. Now, yes, are they also excluding a lot of people who move to the right? My hands are going the wrong way because they're moving this way. There are a lot of people waking up, right? I'm one of them. But I think this thing is so destructive that, if to use your boat analogy, yeah, their part is going to sink, but what they're going to do at the last second is they're going to latch onto the other part and drag that thing down too. That's the plan. Because they don't want the boat to exist at all.
So if you believe that, you have to believe one or two things. Either these people think they have a better way of doing things, or they're evil. It's got to be one of those two things, right? Like, if you don't have a solution for the rest of society, and just because of your angst, you're going to ruin the whole thing for everybody, you're kind of a cunt, right? Unless you've got another plan. You have to have something to back that up. So I wonder what it is. We talk about this a lot. We talked about it a lot when all the Antifa shit started earlier this year, about how you better fucking pray that we don't defund the police.
Yeah.
Because if police go away, you skinny white turds from Portland that have never faced any kind of real challenge in your life are going to run into people like me on the streets who have murdered people in foreign countries and I'm just waiting for some kind of reason to fuck you up.
Not that I am personally. I'm lazy. I'm high at home all the time. Yeah. You guys go out and burn shit down. Do what you want. But there are a bunch of me's out there that are bored.
Yeah. And they're not high.
No. And they're sober and they can still see. That's a bad look, man. I don't know what, like, people romanticize where do you think Antifa is trying to find their Hemingway moment right now? Like, I'm going off to war, mom. I've never done anything real in my life, and maybe this is a romantic thing for them. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out why.
Right. So the question is, so are they evil? Is the average 19-year-old kid who's out there, you know, burning down things and attacking people and stopping random people in their cars and all of those things, are they fundamentally evil? I don't believe that they're fundamentally evil. I think it sort of gets to where we started. They've lost a sense of purpose. They've become nihilistic. They've been so brainwashed by this leftist mind virus that they think, they actually believe that they're fighting Nazis. They really think that they are the good guys fighting Nazis. I don't think that they're evil, meaning that their intentions are purely evil, but that also could get us to a whole other discussion about really what is evil then. If you do a whole bunch of evil shit in the name of thinking you're doing the right thing. I mean, most people think they're doing the right thing, right? Hitler thought he was doing the right thing. Emperor Palpatine, since you made a Star Wars reference before, he thought he was bringing peace to the galaxy. Well, he was going to have to kill a lot of people. Thanos is the great example in the Marvel movies. He was going to wipe out half of the life in the galaxy to be the good guy. You know, he wasn't walking around thinking he was the bad guy. So I think that there are evil actors in place. So there, what I would say is there are some people in these movements that are genuinely evil, but I would say most of them are seriously confused. Or let's put it this way, someone like AOC, I think she's wrong about basically everything. I don't think she understands what freedom is or what America is really about or what the purpose of government is or what individual rights is or all the other stuff that I know you guys believe. I think she is completely confused and I don't know who her handlers are or whatever. But I don't think she herself is evil. I think she's just bamboozled. What becomes evil is when she keeps pushing bad policies that over time, over centuries and decades, we see that someone like her, who doesn't really know what she's talking about, is pushing things that do evil things, meaning that's why communism kills. That's why socialism kills. So it's for like a much broader discussion about like the very nature of evil, I suppose.
Right. No, I mean, I enjoy that conversation because I think everybody should be having that internally all the time. Is what I'm doing the right thing? I think as an intelligent and successful person, you have to decide if you're going to use your intelligence and success to use the less fortunate as a stepping stone, like you're a lord or a king back in the day, or if you're going to use your success to help other people have a better life. And to be honest, if you fall into the former category, I don't want to fucking know you. I don't think that's very American. It's not, it has nothing, even though we were deeply flawed, slavery existed, racism existed for sure. I mean, it's not like Italians, Irish, and Hispanics got a great deal at the beginning of this country either.
Nobody got a great deal, by the way.
Yeah. You know, like, well, if you're a rich landowner.
No. Okay. So a couple people right at the beginning that got land and whatever, couple people, but everybody, I guarantee for both of you, your ancestors, great grandparents, whatever it is, wherever they came from, whether it was Eastern Europe or Italy or Latin America or anywhere else, everyone comes to America with nothing.
Right.
And then it's on you, man, figure it out. And that's what all of our grandparents and great grandparents did. So the idea that like, yeah, there's some, I guess a few people did come here. There were some original pilgrims that came here and then you had some other people that came here and they got a lot of land and they figured some stuff out. Okay, I don't even begrudge them that, actually.
Yeah, no, I mean, neither. And look, one of my ancestors is Betsy Ross, and I got to see her house a couple of years ago. It was small as shit. She sewed the flag for this country, you know? She deserved more, but she didn't get it.
Yeah, but
she didn't
have, like, a flag Shopify account. She sewed one flag and got famous.
She needed Shopify.
Yeah, she needed Shopify.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, I went to the house, and I wasn't impressed. And even though it's a relative, whatever, man, like, you did something more and you kind of undervalued your work, but nobody got a good deal when they moved over to this country.
And I wonder what the difference is. It used to be, there's this trope. It's not really a trope. I think by and large, it's true. First generation Americans are some of the hardest working human beings that exist on earth for a number of reasons. It's a confluence of reasons. One is because they're just hardworking in general. And two, they see a light at the end of the tunnel. Like, you know what? If I come here and work hard, I will actually have success. Mm-hmm. Like some fucking banana republic isn't going to steal all my shit. immediately. Well, if you live in New York or LA, you might be going up to a 60% fucking tax rate if you're making a lot of money. So good luck with that shit. But anyways, now it seems I see people like Ilhan Omar, and I wonder, you come from the biggest piece of shit country that exists. I mean, Somalia sucks.
Yeah.
That whole area, Eritrea, Somalia, Ethiopia, it's fucked and it will always be fucked. And you come here and get a better life. Great. But you try to bring the principles from there that led to that situation here and not only enforce them in your area, but try to make them national policy. To me, that seems intentional or evil. I can't understand how somebody could be dumb enough to think that that's okay. You know what I mean?
So when it comes to the evil thing, I would say where I said AOC is not evil, I think she's just misguided. I would say Ilhan Omar basically is as close as you could come because of what you just said.
Yeah.
She's a first generation immigrant who came from a very backwards place. America afforded her the incredible opportunity not only to come here and live, but freaking thrive and become a hugely, depressingly influential person in America. And you've come here. I mean, just look at her Twitter account. It's an endless cascade of hatred of America, of everything that this country is, and calling everybody racist and everything else at the very same moment that we give her more and more and more power. On top of the fact that I don't throw phrases around like this casually because of what we just talked about racism, but she is obviously an anti-Semite, like her obsession with Israel. Like there's one tiny country in the Middle East with no oil that, you know, comes from a people with a brutal 5,000 year history. She's obsessed with that one. That's the one country she wants to boycott. Like, but we allow her, but we allow her to do these things because we're a free people and we allow free expression, the same stuff that she would never afford any of us if she had the power to do so.
Oh, of course not. No, anybody that, and this goes back, you mentioned your fucking toothy American Psycho looking governor earlier.
Gavin Newsom, yeah.
Yeah, people like him, like Beetlejuice in Chicago, Lori Lightfoot, fucking nipple piercing Cuomo out. I don't know what the fuck's going on, but that's three of the four time zones. So we got it covered, right?
Yeah.
Anybody that tells you that there's an imminent public health emergency, you will die if X doesn't happen. And then they don't do X, or they do X, or whatever the phrase is there. You know they're full of shit, right?
Yeah, we should just call it the French laundry theory right now, because it keeps happening with all of them. Pelosi, obviously, Newsom, all these guys. And it's like, hey, man, you can't keep jamming this down our throat because the hypocrisy is just so massive right now that it's mind-altering.
I've never seen anything. I mean, look, there used to be honor. Even with, I personally think that Cronkite was the end of Western journalism. I think he was the beginning of the end because he took a position on Vietnam, and I think that was a mistake for a journalist to do. I believe he was correct, technically correct, but it was a mistake for him in the position. He's like, sometimes you see something, and because of your position, you know what? I'm not going to say a fucking word about that because it's not my place. And if I do, this, and this might happen. And you have to understand the power of your words, particularly if you're a public figure like that. But man, these days there's nothing. Like, what the fuck is there anybody that you feel like would tell the truth even if it got them in trouble in mainstream media right now?
Yeah, there's one guy, his name's Donald Trump. I mean, yeah, that's the truth. I mean, you know, it's very odd for me to support Trump the way that I do. This is not what I would have ever expected a couple of years ago.
I don't think anybody.
Trump is doing the work that nobody else wants to do because they want to be respectable and go to nice parties and blah, blah, blah. Trump, because he came from a certain amount of money and has his own country club, he had friends already. You know, I feel that sometimes too about the way my career has gone. It's like, you know, my two best friends in this life, I'm 44 years old. My buddy, John, I met him when I was 4 years old, first day of kindergarten. My buddy, Ari, moved to town when we were in third grade. Those are my two best friends now, 40 some odd years later. And because of that, I didn't get into this thing for friendship. So I've had people on my show and people that I used to associate with that now probably don't want to be seen with me or whatever. And I don't give a shit. And that's the truth, because I didn't get into this for friendship. And I think there's some version of that with Trump. Trump is doing the dirty work. The barbarians are at the gate. We're debating whether America is going to continue or not. And these elitists sit there. And this is the flaw of the modern liberals, which is why, although I wrote a whole book defending classical liberalism, it's becoming exhausting to keep telling people I'm a liberal. I mean, it's just a pain in the ass at this point. But Trump is the guy at the gate holding the door, making sure that the castle isn't overrun. And these bastards are sitting up there with their cocktails going, ah, look at him. He eats a steak well done with ketchup and has, you know, hair plugs.
Yeah.
As if they're better than him.
Yeah.
And I think the reason he doesn't want new friends out of this. And that's why he's fighting. It's, man, if you would have ever told me this is what I'd be saying, it's weird, man, but that's what I've come to.
It is bizarre. Too, yeah. And you know, because I was the same. A lot of people, like, I consider myself a conservative, right? A Republican. And people ask me why I voted for Trump in 2016. And initially what I said was this. I think government is so corrupt. I wanted to see a guy come in there and blow up the system and drain the swamp. Like, that phrase really identified with me personally when I was going to vote that year. And I was like, yes, I fucking hate all this shit. I don't know if he's going to do anything that he said or try to or whatever. But at least for this one election, let's just see how it goes, right? Let's just get somebody who's not in politics in there and then figure it out after 4 years and see if there really is, like, this office is too big to fail or you can get anything accomplished. And then little by little over the 4 years, me personally, I saw him do everything that he was saying that he was going to do on the campaign trail in 2016. And I was like, well, shit, this is actually feels like it's kind of working, like with the unemployment and everything else that was going on and the peace deals and all this other stuff. And I was like, all right, yeah, man, you definitely have my vote in 2020, which I wasn't sure. Because, I mean, dude, you elect a reality show president, somebody who comes from, you know, a business background or whatever. You're not really sure, in my opinion. Besides the tweeting and some of the rhetoric that he's used in speeches and rallies and shit like that, like, he did a pretty good fucking job. And even in this run up to 2020, when he was going against Biden and everything, he could have just ran on his record alone because it was that good that it was like, all right, well, sweet. Now what? Now what do we do?
Well,
where do you think we go from here?
He didn't break the system, by the way. The system from both sides of the aisle fought back against and got him the fuck out of the air. If we're to believe these election results.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. I don't think it's over yet. But I would say that's why I agree with what you just said there. And that's why the worst people to me right now, like sort of the worst ideological cancer we have right now, are these never Trump Republicans. Because he did the shit that Republicans and conservatives always say they're going to do. Get conservative judges on there, lower taxes, get rid of regulation, get us out of wars, blah, blah, blah. He did it, but when you see these Lincoln Project douchebags and the rest of these people that will never get anything done, all they want to do is just remain as part of the swamp. That's right. That's why you love that phrase so much. They just want the system to keep going so they can keep cashing in. It's just a self-preservation thing. So those guys to me are the worst, because the simple truth is, so let's say Trump is gone, right? And Trumpism is destroyed and they put everybody on lists and we're all going to the gulag. Who do the Republicans trot out next? It's just going to be some asexual, ineffectual Mitt Romney clone.
Jeb Bush,
who will do nothing, who will be called, by the way, they will be called the exact same things that Trump is called.
Yeah.
He'll automatically be called a racist, as they called Romney. He'll be called a sexist. That's what they called Romney. They called McCain a sexist and a racist. So Trump was just like, all right, I'm just going to fight the whole freaking thing. But what you'll be left with as Republicans and people on the right are a bunch of basically neutered losers who will never do anything. And that's, I think a lot of people see that. And that's why Trump still has as much support as he has.
Yeah, he does have a lot of support. But what is that? What happens with that? My fear is that Trump is going to start some kind of media company and is just going to be the analog to CNN. I mean, it's just going to be absolute nonsense all the time. Just stovepiped information and an echo chamber. And I don't care about that. That's why I understand what Parler is, but I'm not going to join Parler because I don't want to support that. I don't want to support the idea of there being a conservative platform versus a liberal platform, because that is a false choice to me. That makes no sense.
Either way, you're living in an echo chamber for Parler or Twitter. Yeah, it just depends on which one you want to be in. Well, I'm in both, me personally, because I want news from both sides and I want to hear opinions from both sides. Therefore, I'm on both. But let's say Trump does create a media company, if that's what you believe. Mm. What do you believe is going to happen in 2024? Because me personally, I don't see anybody stopping the Trump name if Biden does win this election. We'll get to the vote thing after this. But still think it's either going to be the rise of Ivanka, because I think America is ready for the first female president, and I don't know how you can beat that brand name, or possibly him running again in 2024, which would negate the media company, or maybe not.
He's going to be 78.
Yeah, well,
although that's what Biden said now,
I mean, I think probably at 78, he doesn't run again. I think either Junior or Ivanka, probably more Ivanka because she's a little more polished, although I like Junior a lot and he's a buddy of mine, but I think probably Ivanka. But what I was hoping was going to happen this time is that if Trump had won again, and again, who the hell knows what's going to happen? We still got a month and a half of craziness. If Trump had won again, what my hope was that would have smashed the machine to such an extent that then the Republicans could figure out how to moderate again. Mm. And what that would have left you with in 2024 would have been a seriously diverse crowd on the right. And I mean that in terms of the immutable stuff that the left loves, and I mean it in terms of ideas. You would have had Nikki Haley, you would have had Tim Scott, you would have had Dan Crenshaw, you would have had Candace Owens, you would have had a Trump Jr. or an Ivanka. You would have had a pretty wide array, some of them a little more, you know, sort of old school Republican like a Nikki Haley, some of them more out of the Trump mold. You would have had some really interesting stuff coming from the Republicans in 2024. If Trump loses, I could see most of the Trump people, they're never going to go for a Jeb Bush again. There's going to be someone that's going to rise. And I don't think we know who that person is right now. I don't even know if it's someone that's on the radar, but I suspect they're going to be far more radical than Trump was. I think they'll probably be more like the caricature that they wanted Trump to be. And I would be a little bit worried about that.
Now you said if Trump loses. So I want to go to this. We had Amanda Milius on the show, the director of The Plot Against the President last week. She's currently in Nevada with their legal team, with Trump's legal team, trying to fight these votes still. She claims there is huge surprises that are coming. And when pressed for that, she was talking like in the state of Nevada in particular with the signatures. The reading of the signatures, the level was put down to 40% versus reading them. And it's supposed to be up at 90 and all this other stuff. Dan and I agree on this. We haven't seen enough evidence of what is going to happen. By you just saying the phrase, if Trump loses, there is clearly some part of you that thinks that Trump might win and these votes might get overturned. Can you explain to the audience how that is going to happen? Because we can't figure it out here.
Yeah. Well, first off, nothing that I'm about to say, I know for a fact. I'm just every day on my show, what I've been trying to say is here's what I can hear happening at these hearings, at these court cases. Here's what the lawyers are saying. And now it has to all get through the system. So just today, I saw Trump's lawyer was on with Maria Bartiromo on CNBC. Mm-hmm. And he said that as of today, by 5 o'clock today, they are going to present evidence that they have at least 40,000 duplicate ballots in Nevada, that 40,000 people voted twice. Now this is what he's saying. They have the evidence of it. Now, either it's not true, in which case, okay, you've just destroyed your career, just like Sidney Powell might be doing and the rest of them. It's like, are you guys just, Rudy Giuliani, are you all just making up all of this crazy shit and lying to destroy your personal lives, your public lives, your careers, everything else in the name of what? I'm not even totally sure. Or is there enough stuff there that as it works its way through the legal system, and I know I've been watching these hearings, and you hear people talking about all kinds of crazy stuff about ballots disappearing in the midnight, you know, these spikes at 3 a.m. and all this stuff. So I am not saying any of it's true, but what I am saying is there is a reason that we have an election the first week in November and the president isn't sworn in until the third week in January. That gives the system time to figure out what's happened here. And I'll say this. There's two other things. One is to bet against Trump, the guy who consistently wins while everyone says he won't and he can't, is kind of crazy, I think, because he's always gotten ahead of everything. But not only that, it's also that it doesn't feel right. And I know this, you know, facts don't care about your feelings, all that stuff. Something feels off here. The fact that we're not allowed to talk about it, the fact that no one in mainstream will talk about it. And then just imagine this, and this is what I'm really worried about, is let's say some of this stuff starts coming true and Trump wins a couple of court cases. And Sidney Powell is saying, that Dominion actually did flip votes. This is what she's saying. I'm not saying it's true, but let's say that Dominion did flip votes from Trump to Biden, or threw out Trump votes, or all of that stuff. Because the mainstream isn't touching it right now, but let's say it starts getting through the courts and it starts happening, and you know, states start switching, the average person who doesn't even have a freaking clue this is going on, or is being told it's all a conspiracy theory, imagine what they're going to feel like that first week in January when all hell starts breaking loose.
Right.
And that goes back to the reality war, that we are, no matter what happens in here, half the country is not going to believe in the system. And that's a way bigger problem. So I'm just saying if, because the thing hasn't finished yet.
Yeah.
It just hasn't finished yet.
Yeah. I mean, forget about the inauguration. The electors don't even vote until the 13th of December, right? I mean, we're still 2 weeks away from that. And you're right about, they're setting the condition, right? So if you say something loud enough and long enough, it becomes people's reality. And then when something to the contrary happens, it seems like something's amiss, something's afoot. What happened? I thought he won. What happened?
Right.
I think there will be, hesitate to use the phrase civil war, because I don't even know what that means at this point in modern America, but there will be big problems if this is overturned and Trump wins this election.
Of course cities will burn, but I would say it will be a shorter term problem for a much stronger future of America, because at least the side that believes in America will have won,
right,
as opposed to just the slow death, the frog in the slowly boiling pot that we're going to get out of the Biden administration.
Yeah, and it's misinformation is one thing that can typically be overcome by people. The suppression of information is where I think this really becomes problematic. That the Johns Hopkins study that came out from graduate students there, 2 weeks ago, that was immediately deleted by the university. And all they did, there's analysis, but there's no opinion in the article. All they did was pull numbers from the CDC website. And what they showed was there aren't 270,000, which is the COVID deaths. There aren't 270,000 more of those this year, or 270,000 more deaths in America this year than there were last year. So what that is risk. It's spreading, right? It's you're borrowing from other buckets and putting them into this bucket, but they're still shared comorbidity-wise or whatever else is happening. If the biggest pandemic since 1918, since the Spanish flu, hasn't caused more than the expected amount of deaths, then this is all bullshit, right? I mean, every human being, if you presented them with that information, would be like, oh, this is bullshit. So they can't allow that information to be out there, right? I mean, you can't allow that to be out there.
I saw something, and please, I'm sure your audience will fact check me on it. So someone check me on this, because I'm not totally sure. But I could have sworn I saw something a few days ago that said only 6% of COVID deaths don't have a comorbidity.
That's correct.
So if that is to be true, that means that only 6% of the people who have died for COVID did not have some other thing that in essence was about to kill them. And we have decided to destroy our entire economy and completely change our way of life, and in essence, destroy the American dream for something that is taking out 6% of people who have it, even though we know it has a 99% recovery rate. And we've got these vaccines, which I'm personally not going to take, but that supposedly will cover 95% of the people.
Yeah, I'm not going to take the vaccine either. And
no, I don't know anybody that will, to be honest. I mean, We've had.
Well, wait till they won't let you on a plane.
Well, yeah. We spoke to AJ Buckley. He's one of the stars of the show SEAL Team on CBS. Yesterday, he's a buddy of ours. Comes on the show a lot. He's not a super political guy or anything. He's actually not even American, technically.
Yeah.
He's still a Canadian immigrant. He's like, yeah, if the showrunners come and tell me I have to get this vaccine to stay on the show, then I guess I have to find a new job, because that's not going to happen. And this is something that I think that people have been wondering aloud, not necessarily specifically, but people allude to it a lot. At what point does something need, at what point do I as an individual need to start doing something about this crazy bullshit that's happening, about trying to reframe? Look, we all know America has a problematic past. Show me a country that doesn't. motherfucker. I mean, that's the dumbest shit of all time. We know that. We know that people in powerful positions have made mistakes over the years. We also know that they made big impacts positively on how we live our lives. You know what I mean? At what point do we stop these people who are trying to attack all the institutions that protect us in our way of life? And look, I'm not one of those people like, hey, if you don't like, because I'm not even Christian, but if you don't like Jesus, you got to get the fuck out of my, I don't give a fuck about any of that stuff. What you look like, what you choose to do in your free time, who you fuck, what kind of drugs you do, I don't care. Do what the fuck you want.
I'm with you, man.
But if you start telling people they can't have their individual liberty in this country, you got to get the fuck out of here. And at some point, that's going to have to be either by your choice or mine. And my choice is not going to go well for you, frankly. So I wonder, at what point do we need to figure out what we're going to do here? Some of the things you can do is refusing this bullshit. If you're a police officer out there, and we have a very large military and first responder fan base, if you're a police officer out there and you're one of these people that showed up to Max in New York and dragged people out and arrested the owner because he's trying to keep his business open so his family can eat, fuck you. How about that? You don't have my support anymore. I'm not going to say I don't support the thin blue line. If the thin blue line is being used to take away individual liberty from people, fuck you.
Yeah, and we'll see how that goes. Because look, there's a lot of people that are making that decision or going to be close to making that decision soon. A paramedic buddy of mine in Nashville says, hey man, they have the vaccine. So in 2 weeks, they're going to start taking the vaccine, or at least it's being offered to them. And Nashville is a huge city.
Yeah.
And he went through the entire process and said, look, it's pretty hush-hush right now, but all first responders are going to get it first because they have to deal with the most amount of COVID patients on a day-to-day basis. He says it is Pfizer, and that it's going to be distributed within 2 weeks apart. So it's two shots, 2 weeks apart. And the effective rate, what they're being told, is 90%. It's going to be stored at minus 170 degrees Celsius.
Which, by the way, is colder than it is on the moon at night.
Right.
Just so you know.
Yeah. And then you have 3 hours to take it before it goes bad.
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to enforce that or keep tabs on that either. And what he said was, and this was in their email or secret, you know, text or whatever it was, is that you're going to get sick like the flu really bad for about 2 to 3 days. And then after that, 2 weeks later, you're going to take the second test. And right now it's optional. And that's the reason I'm telling this story.
Exactly.
At what point will this be mandatory? And then what?
Yeah, that's the question, because either the states will force you to do it or a Biden administration would love to take the federal power to do it federally, which would be even scarier.
Good luck.
You know, the other option is that it could all be done by private companies, because in essence, they could say, OK, you can't get on a plane, you can't get on a Greyhound bus, you can't get on Amtrak, you can't go to the freaking movie theater unless you have, you know, the card that says I got the shot. I'll tell you, there's going to be you want to go bullish on something, go into the counterfeit I got the shot license because a lot of people are going to want to be faking.
I'm already selling them on
wish.com. I am not taking that thing.
No, fuck no.
No.
I mean, you have to, what does it mean to believe something? And there are degrees, right? I believe that LeBron probably wasn't worth the fucking $85 million contract
that he got today.
Probably not.
At 40 years old? Well, no.
He's 36. I believe that. But I don't believe it that much because, he just put asses in seats. We can figure it out. I believe in liberty to a degree that here's what I say to people. Are you ready to lose everything for what you believe? Are you ready to die for it? Are you ready to kill for it? Because if you're not, you don't really believe it.
Right.
Honestly, this is too important for this country. It is the country. I mean, if you say that you love America, regardless of what side you're on, the entire point of this goddamn country was that we don't have kings here. We don't have central federalized government that can come into my personal life and tell me what to do. That is the entire point of this country. Now, if you all want to vote and scrap that idea, fine. We'll go start. I'll stay here in Texas. And good luck trying to keep us from doing that, right? If that's what you want to do, fine, just say it.
Yeah.
But stop pretending. And those of you who do believe in liberty and shit, you need to be ready for some kind of fight. Frankly, it may not be with fists or guns, but it's going to be a fucking fight.
Well, we will find out what happens. Dave, we enjoy your show a lot. This is the point in ours where we get to the drinking bro of the week, which is someone who has inspired you or helped you become the man you are today. Who would you like to give the drinking bro of the week to?
I'm guessing he's gotten this award before, but I mean, it's Jordan Peterson for sure. Mm. As I wrote in my book, I mean, I spent a year and a half with this guy on the road, about 120 shows in about 20 countries, and he changed my life. I mean, you can't hear that message of individual responsibility and taking your life seriously and standing up straight with your shoulders back and all of those things. You can't be around it every night in front of thousands and thousands of people and see people change, you know, people that got off drugs, people that mended relationships with family members, people that got better jobs, the list. I mean, I could tell you stories that would bring tears to your eyes because it brought tears to my eyes. And being around that, it made me a better man. I am not a perfect man by any stretch, but I am better than I was before this thing. And I hope that a year from now, I'll be better than I am now. And all it's about is just getting on that path. So, you know, for all of the people that were reading his book and that would come up to me in the street, or they'd come up to me after the show and be like, "Oh man, he changed my life. All this stuff." I'd be like, "Yeah, you know what? Same here. So I owe the guy. I owe him big time."
I mean, seems like he's probably a weird guy, to be honest. But people that feel and think that deeply, you're not going to get a super like socially polished human being out of that. It just doesn't work because they're up here all the time, right? This is the way it is. But the things he says, and I completely agree with you, not just about the impact he's having on people's lives, but more so the importance of what he's saying. And you can tell how important somebody is in the fight for liberty based on how hard the mainstream media comes after them.
Absolutely.
If they come after you hard. So if I say, you know what, I don't really give a fuck if you want to get your dick cut off and sewn onto your forehead and call yourself a rhinoceros. That's fine, dude. Do it, man. Fuck yeah. I'll pay to watch the goddamn thing happen.
Yeah.
I'll pay $50 for the pay-per-view. I'm not even kidding. I like fucked up shit. But if you force me by law to call that person a rhinoceros, fuck you.
Right.
I've got a gun, dude. You're going to have to, I'm not kidding. You're going to have to come force me to do that. And then to call Jordan Peterson, probably the nicest human being that exists on earth. Like he's kind in a way that comes through in everything he does. He's kind because he figured out what the key to this stuff is. And he's like, you know what? I don't care about the attention. I don't care about the hate. I'm just going to keep saying it over and over again. I'm going to keep my cool. I'm not going to get angry with these people. I'm going to fucking sacrifice myself. And he's doing it right now. Yeah, he's making a good living, but the stress that man is under, I can't imagine it, frankly.
Can I just tell you one other thing about Jordan? Sure, so after the shows, you know, I always felt that I had the best seat to the whole thing because I'd be standing backstage where I could see, you know, I'm a little bit off to the side, but basically you got the spotlight on Jordan and I can see Jordan from behind and I can pretty much see the whole crowd. So just every night watch thousands of people react to him and people would just sit there stone cold for an hour and a half listening to the guy talk. And then we would do some funny stuff at the end in the Q&A and all that. But almost every night, if he had a particularly great show, and I would try to be as honest with him as possible. There were some nights where he maybe wasn't as sharp, or I said, oh, you know, you were about to go here and then you did something else. And he wanted the feedback, by the way, because he wanted to get better. But on the nights that were great, and there were many of them, I would say something like, you know, Jordan, man, you crushed it tonight. Like that was you at your best. And you just, that thing you did, blah, blah. And he'd go, well, we'll see what happens tomorrow night.
Right.
And I heard him say that so many times. And what he in essence was saying was, yeah, I did the best I could tonight, but I'm going to try it again tomorrow night to be even better. And that got in me and it has made me better at what I do. Like that's a freaking amazing thing right there.
Yeah. And to call somebody like that racist or homophobic or trans or any phobic, are you fucking out of your mind? Honestly,
out of your mind.
That's the dumbest shit that I've ever heard. Frankly,
yeah, I mean,
that guy is he's literally dedicated his entire life to try to improve other people's lives, not like some fitness person on Instagram. You know what I mean?
Right.
His entire life, all the work he does, most of his time awake, he spends trying to figure out how to make other people's lives better.
Yeah, and I live by the same motto of like, hey man, no matter how great today's show was or tomorrow, hey, let's try to get the perfect one. In my opinion, you'll never achieve it, which is what's waking up for every morning. Like that's what it's all about, where you're like, all right, well, maybe today's the day, but it definitely isn't, obviously. Like for our show, I'm sure, you know, you'll go
home. Today was the day. Today was the day.
No, definitely wasn't. Dump MLK, dumping loads and people. Yeah. Definitely wasn't the day.
That one's actually going on my resume. my reel, yeah, whenever put my reel together, it's that. I say a lot of fucked up shit.
So yeah, no, it's hilarious. But tell everybody where they can find you. Yeah. Obviously, your show is massive. Tell everybody where they can find you and your book and all that stuff.
My guys are pretty solid. You can go to RubenReport.com or DontBurnThisBook.com, and it's all there.
Nice.
Yeah. Right now it's in soft focus behind you. Don't burn this book. But I see
there we go.
There it is. I see a couple copies back there that you're signing for some loved ones, I bet. I'm in the same book business, so I know the deal. There it is. Yeah, there's like 90 Sharpies
there's
up
the
here.
Trusted Sharpie.
Dave, thanks for the time today, man. You're a fucking great dude. Your show is even better. If you don't listen to his show, please check it out. We appreciate the time today. For Dave, D'Anthony Holloway, I'm Ross Patterson. This is the Drinking Bros. Good night, everyone.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.